episode 15 of Killer Crawlspace. Thank you for tuning in. You know, this episode will be about Jeff Crawford. This was, if I remember correctly, it was on a status I made, and this was brought up. I remember hearing it on the news and stuff back when it all happened, so I'll go into detail. William, Jeff, like I said, we'll call him Jeff, Crawford and his wife Ashley were on track of getting their lives back. They both had had a bad history of drug use. I read neither of them was working at the time of the fire, but then one thing said they were working, so I'm assuming they just weren't, but, you know, they might have been working, you know, a short time before that. But they were in both drawing unemployment. They said Jeff had been a deckhand on a boat before and was trying to get his tattoo business going, along with moving to the Carolinas. I think they had family down there, if I remember correctly, or he might have. But they were both extremely happy on where their lives were headed and looked forward to a bright future. Until June 17th, 2011, around 3 a.m., their house was reported on fire. Jeff, Ashley, and her cousin, Tonda Nelson, was not found and was considered missing after the house fire. A little over a month later, the bodies of Ashley and Tonda, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, T-O-N-D-A, Tonda, yeah, were found a few miles away in a shallow grave off of Duncan Creek Road, between the road and a creek in Gallipolis Ferry, West Virginia. But no sign of Jeff had been found since. He is considered a suspect. Now the twists and turns come in. So what really happened to Jeff? Did he kill his wife and her cousin and fled, or was he a victim as well? Before I get too far ahead of myself, I want to talk about the finding of Ashley and Tonda's body. They were discovered by a group of people searching for arrowheads. The grave had been partially uncovered, and the time of death was consistent with the time they had been considered missing. The area where they were found was a popular hunting ground. The cause of death was reported as wounds to the head. With this information, I can't say for certain, but being buried at a popular hunting ground could mean the killer or killers wanted the body to be found at some point. You know, that's just my opinion on that. Don't mean it's true, but, you know, that kind of, when you put somebody in a popular area, they're going to be found eventually. But a few days later, after Ashley and Tonda was found, it reported that a man and his niece were picking berries in an area that was only accessible by the ATV or an off-road vehicle of some type. They witnessed police and crime scene investigators dispatched to the area. From my understanding, no information had been released on why they were in the area or if anything was found. It is odd, you know, if this did happen. So, like, why wasn't it reported? Were they looking for Jeff or looking, you know, for anything? But there's also some alleged calls came over the scanner regarding various undisclosed items that were found in the area of the bodies. And the sheriff pretty much flipped out on the deputies that were speaking and told them they could be heard on the scanner, so they advised them to switch towers. Like, I can see this happening, because my grandma, my grandparents, like, they would listen. I don't think they do really anymore, but they used to listen to a scanner a lot, you know, hearing all the, which I know a lot of people do. So, it is weird, you know, that they were talking about undisclosed items, and then, you know, I can understand, I guess, you know, because then they would be the whole, kind of ruin the crime scene. Well, not the crime scene, but where they found the bodies, you know. Because then if, say, somebody did say, hey, I done it, they'd be like, well, what was that, the bodies? You know, they would already know. Because they heard on the scanner, so they could just take credit for it. But, the police denied that ever happened. So, who knows. One thing I found that was weird was the family supposedly was advised by investigators in the local state police to not talk to anyone within the local sheriff department and local police department in their county. I think this is where the local police corruption theory steps in at. I find local police cover up in a lot of unsolved mysteries, and it will always be that way, it seems like, when something does go unsolved. But does that mean it happened here? It's possible, but doesn't mean it actually happened. Like I said, there's about anything that goes into effect that it goes unsolved, always police corruption. always. It seems it's always there somewhere. Like I said, I don't mean that it's there all the time. And, well, I mean that it's true all the time. You know, it's just always speculated when something goes unsolved. See, I read in October of the same year that a group out of Texas came and helped the family search for Jeff. And from my understanding, nothing was found. I couldn't find anything where anything was reported. Sorry. So, yeah. And then it goes into December. There was a warrant issued for Jeff's arrest. From what I've read and understand, a witness came forward claiming to have seen Jeff and a person or persons murder his wife and her cousin. I was not able to find any of the names of who the witnesses could have been, but some felt the police were just saying this to kind of make it look good in their eyes that they were doing something on the case. Very, very possible, you know, sometimes police do that. Sorry, got tongue-tied there for a minute. Police do that, so it's very possible. Let's see. I can understand that because they have no evidence that he is dead. So, you know, they do have to assume that he still is alive until, you know, he's either found or somebody says, hey, I killed him and buried him here. So, but here are some rumors that I was found out and kind of supports the family tie-in that's mentioned. Is that when the house was on fire and the three were never seen again, well, Jeff's Ford Mustang was also missing. His tattoo guns were stolen but were later found because they were sold on the streets. A distant cousin of Jeff's was later seen driving Jeff's Mustang, claimed that Jeff had sold it to him for $3,000, half of what Jeff had originally paid for it. Well, for it. It would come to the surface that the cousin had forged the title. His cousin was also driving the Mustang without tags, driver's license, or insurance. He was also a known drug user, and people felt he probably wouldn't have had the money to buy the car. This cousin pops up a lot, so it kind of makes me wonder if, you know, it was him, because they mentioned, too, that cousin and Jeff did not have a friendly relationship. And there's a report that he was seen with his wife and, well, Jeff's wife and her cousin the day they disappeared, and Jeff had not been seen at all that day, nor did he contact his family members. So, yeah. The person who had been selling Jeff's tattoo guns was questioned by the police, but the individual reported they had bought them off Jeff. It just kind of seems that, you know, he's kind of selling everything off just to get a bunch of money and take off. I don't know. I really don't know. See, there's one statement that came to the police that a man that dealt with Jeff's cousin claims he set the house on fire and supposedly he was overheard on several occasions that he had a hand in Jeff's disappearance. The gentleman would flee town shortly after the bodies of Ashley and Tonda were found, but he ended up being located in Alabama with an old girlfriend that he was, I guess, off and on with. And there was another gentleman of interest in the case. He was reported seen driving the Mustang shortly before and after the disappearance of, you know, the three individuals. He had supposedly hid the car from some time before the search started. Jeff's cousin tried to sell it to the same guy supposedly on his property that a known drug dealer had been living on. A drug dealer they claimed might have been ripped off before and possibly by Jeff and Ashley back in the day when they were mixed in with the drug life. You know, I know this happened, Mason County. So, yeah, if I remember correctly, looking through my notes here. So I'm sure it's like with any other county almost, and with a lot of the other areas, it's, you know, every place has got their problems. So, like I said, maybe their past life did come back. But there are some questions that I wonder about, and I'm going to discuss them here. If the last statement is true about them ripping off a drug dealer, did their past life finally catch up to them? Like I said, it's possible. Like it's very possible. Number two, if Jeff did sell his Mustang and the tattoo guns, then does this kind of seem he wanted quick cash, killed his wife, her cousin, because she would have been a witness, and fled the area to be on his own. And my question is, why? Like, because everything I have read, looked into, the family don't see that being possible because he wouldn't vanish like that. Because right now, you know, it's going on 7 years, and he left a lot of family behind. And if I remember correctly and stuff, he even had a child. So, you know, they always said he checked in daily before he disappeared, and you know, it's still possible, but I don't know, it just seemed to be hard, you know, just to start your life over like that and just basically be like, hey, I'm not talking to my family anymore. I've done this. I'm gone. You know, but with today's technology and social media, I don't care where he's at, unless he's in the middle of the woods living and never goes out and just lives off the land. You know, he's going to be spotted by somebody, and it's going to be reported on social media. That's, you know, that's how the world is anymore. So, like I said, it still does seem weird to me. You know, he just cut off his family like that and not talked to him for, like I said, almost 7 years. So, if Jeff did do the killings and eventually killed himself in an unknown location, which is why he hasn't been found, me personally, I think if he would have took that route, he would have just left them in the house and set the house on fire and killed himself and burned up in the house as well. You know, it still is possible, you know, that he done it and didn't know what to do, so left, killed himself, and nobody knows where he's at. You know, it's possible, which anything's possible in this matter. You know, I really, like I said, just think he would just burn everything up. Because, like, even if they find ashes of the body or got to the house for the whole house burnt down and say the bodies were still intact, they're going to see that, you know, probably most likely what happened. So, yeah. I'm just not getting the vibe of that. A lot of talk and, you know, theories out there and rumors and everything, it kind of goes to be that with my number four question, was he a victim? And did somebody bury him somewhere else besides where, you know, his wife? I'm assuming they searched that whole area. Like, they would have had to have. And if he's not buried there, is he buried somewhere else? You know, a lot of the information, like I said, does seem that this is very possible. And like I said, with technology today and how social media and everything is, I just don't see him being gone for 7 years and nobody not hearing from him or seeing him. Which, like I said, I guess he could live off the land, but, which there was that one guy, I don't know if, when was it, the hermit guy, I know he was like 20-some years out in the woods, but you know, he was still in the headlines because he was, you know, just stealing the basic needs off people, like in campgrounds and stuff. But I don't see Jeff doing that. I kind of get the feeling that he was a victim. And, you know, I hate to say it, but something bad might have happened to him. And, you know, I just get that feeling. Which, like I said, that's my personal opinion. So, you know, I just kind of wonder, where anybody ever know what happened to Jeff? Like I said, Did their life catch up with him? You know, was he a victim? Did he basically, like I said, do all this and just vanish and disappear without a trace? And he's still alive out there. You know, what's going on? You know, would any new information on this ever surface? Or will this just be another unsolved murder mystery for West Virginia? You know, like I said, it's not in Huntington, which Mason County is not too far from Huntington. So it's crazy. It really is crazy that it seems like no matter where you go, which this is probably like this all over, you know, America and just all over the country, you know, there's like unsolved murders everywhere. Just fascinates me. Which, you know, technology is always improving and stuff, but it's still crazy. But hopefully, like I said, one day, you know, something will surface up. Like I've said on my other episodes, if you have any information and you don't want to personally contact the police, you can, you know, contact me at Killer's Crawlspace on Facebook, and I'll, you know, get the information to, you know, the proper people, and I won't, you know, mention your name or anything, but you can, you know, also call the local police department and, you know, say, hey, you know, I know this, you know, anything I can help on these cases that I've covered that, you know, are unsolved locally, you know, it'd be nice to bring justice to somebody, you know, and find out who their killer was, or, you know, just to be able to put, you know, them at rest, you know, especially for the families that are involved in all this. But I guess that is the wrap-up of episode 15. Thank you for tuning in. And like I said on my last episode, in episode 14, episode 16, you know, I've been playing with the audio. I've got a good thing, hopefully, planned out. And like I said, it's another West Virginia case, but it involves a little girl. And it's very, like I said, very touching to research it and actually kind of dig into it. Like I said in my previous episode, I'm a little, you know, got a little upset about it, you know, because I have a daughter of my own, and I just couldn't imagine. So, but thank you for tuning in. Like I said, I'll see you in episode 16.